What's going on, everybody? I am Perry White. I'm the host of the Jaguar Journal. I want to make sure that you guys tune in live each and every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 107.3 FM. We also have our affiliates in Alexandria, Louisiana, as well as down in New Orleans. And if you're not able to catch us on radio live, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as follow us on Facebook. It's the Jaguar Journal.
Outspoken, informative,
the Jaguar Journal.
Your source for the latest information on Southern University sports and SWAC athletics.
A Baton Rouge sports talk tradition.
On a Saturday morning, it is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody that's out there listening in the Baton Rouge Capital City area, across the airwaves here on 107.3 FM. And everybody, good morning to you if you're watching on our YouTube channel and Facebook Live. Glad to have you guys with us bright and early. I am in Houston, Texas this week because guess what? The Jaguars have a big SWAC West matchup game against none other than Texas Southern today in Houston. So traveled over, gotten myself settled in, prepared and ready for today's big matchup, and I'm sure you guys are prepared and ready to hear today's big show as we're going to recap last week's Southern versus Nichols, which pretty sure some of you guys probably want to just forget it and move on, but we're going to talk about it a little bit, and then we're going to look forward towards today's big matchup versus Texas Southern. The Tigers are now 1-1 in conference play. They have one win versus Prairie View and one loss versus Jackson State. And now Southern comes in 1-0, holding on still to that 1-0 after they got that victory on the road to Prairie View. And now today's matchup is going to be pivotal. Somebody can go 1-1. Somebody can go 1-2. Somebody can go 2-0. It can go all different types of ways today. And I think for anybody that's listening for Southern Jaguar Nation, you're looking for the Jaguars to go 2-0 in conference play today. Excuse me. That first month of September was a struggle for the Jaguars, now transitioning over into October. And as you can recall, once you get out of October, it gets to that old saying, November to remember. This is the part of the season, as is now straight conference games from here, where you begin to formulate if your team is championship ready or not. And the way that the SWAC West is looking right now, ladies and gentlemen, considering last night, Friday night, ESPN2 game between Prairie View and Pine Bluff. Prairie View traveled up to Pine Bluff and came out on the short end of the stick as Pine Bluff picked up his first conference game victory of the season, his first win over a Division I opponent last night at home versus Prairie View. Prairie View now falls to 1-3 in conference play with losses to Southern, Texas Southern, and UAPB. Their only win on the season so far in conference play is against Grambling State in the State Fair Classic. So this is going to be interesting. That's why today's matchup is so pivotal for Southern in what we like to call now seems the wild, wild west of the SWAC. Is anybody's championship at this point, anybody's division crown at this point, when you look at the level of play that's happening, right? Grambling with a big game today with Alcorn at home. It's going to be huge up there in the hole in Grambling, Louisiana, with the Braves coming in. Because remember, the Braves are now 2-0 as they defeated Pine Bluff last week at homecoming. Now you have Grambling coming reeling off of that one loss to Prairie View and getting the bye week. Now they have to be able to defend home turf and find make sure that they don't fall behind 1-2 in conference play. So this is interesting all the way around. And I say 1-2 is actually 0-2 because I have to go back and think about it. The Grambling and Jackson game did not count. So this thing is pretty much wide open at this point. But I think, first of all, before we even move forward, we're going to recap what happened with Southern and Nichols in that out-of-conference Southland versus SWAC matchup. A tough loss for Southern as the Jaguars fell 51-7 at home at A.W. Mumford Stadium. From the records that I have seen, ladies and gentlemen, this may go down as the second largest defeat at home for the Jaguars, from what I've seen. So we'll figure that out. But nonetheless, you know, as we get ready to continue to get into the meat and heart of the show, my man, Dr. Kendrick Taylor is going to join us at 7:15, talk to us about the band. He's going to let us know if they're traveling to Texas Southern today or not, and anything else that they have coming up. I got a very special guest that's going to come up at 7:30. He's a former head coach here in the SWAC, so I'm sure you guys are going to appreciate that. And we're going to talk about the SWAC landscape and particularly what the SWAC West looks like right now and how it's anybody's game to be the SWAC West champion. And then, of course, we're going to have Jim Kleinpeter come on at 8 o'clock along with my man Kevin Baptiste. We're going to recap last week's game. We're going to look ahead at today's game and just have some talk about what this Southern team looks like right now as they're coming and stumbling in today's game with a 2-3 record, but nonetheless 1-0 in SWAC play. And I guess, you know, at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, is that what all that matters? The Jaguars with 3 losses, 1 on the road to Magnese, 1 on the road to Jackson State, and then this past weekend, a loss at home, huge loss to Nichols State. So now at this point, the Jaguars have to find a way to get things on track and get it in order as they get ready to move forward with a direct conference schedule moving forward. Texas Southern this week on the road. Next week is homecoming, baby. You know, all the Jaguar Nation from across the land is going to come down, be back in Baton Rouge, and the Alcorn State Braves from right up on Highway 61 make their way down to Baton Rouge. And they have a huge one today on the road. 2 back-to-back road weeks for Alcorn. Once this week in the North Louisiana area at Grambling. Next week they'll be down in the boot in the south part of Louisiana with Southern University. So let's see what we can do today before we move on to next week. But first of all, I hope you guys had a good week. I hope you guys had a phenomenal week. Prayers to all of our listeners, and I know we have listeners that tune in to this show over in Florida. And I've seen St. Petersburg countless times as an area as listeners for this show, that Tampa, St. Pete area. And it's, no matter where you at, if you were affected by the past 2 hurricanes hitting that East Coast, man, my prayers to you and your family. I hope everything works out for you guys. No, not a lot of damage, and that everything gets back on track. And I say that because how easily can that be Louisiana? How easily can that be Louisiana? And with Florida, with back-to-back weeks of major hurricanes, that is a lot for any community, for any state, any city, whoever the case may be. I saw pictures this week from Bethune-Cookman's campus over in Daytona Beach. Looked pretty bad. So the recovery is going to be slow, but we know from being in Louisiana that at the end of the day, a community that stick together can build together and can grow together. And I believe that's what you'll have in Florida once they the dust settle, is so they say. The storm has now moved out. Now everybody assessing the damage and now figuring out, you know, where do you start? Where do you go from here in order to rebuild communities and rebuild, you know, just get life back on track? And once again, prayers to all of those people that's out there. Good morning to everybody that's listening. Big game over in Baton Rouge this week, so I'm sure we have some listeners tuning in that's going to be over in South Baton Rouge for the top 25 matchup with LSU and Ole Miss today. Typically, we get a good handful of listeners that are LSU fans. So because of that, good morning to you guys. Glad that you tuned in to learn about some HBCU and SWAC football and just talking to, you know, whatever you want to hear this morning, because we're going to go down through the SWAC. I'm going to give you last week's scores along with the games to look out for this week as we get into conference schedule. Things shaping up over coming out in the MEAC as they're going to get ready to get into conference play. And, you know, that's, and once that begins to happen, along with what's happening in the SWAC, I like to call it the road to the Celebration Bowl, because at that point, we'll be getting ready to head there as we get mid-October, going into November, and we should know, not even should, we're going to know by the time we reach the end of November who's going to be the two SWAC teams playing in the SWAC championship. We'll know who the MEAC representatives are going to be, and then all eyes are going to be set getting ready for the Celebration Bowl in December to crown a Black College National Champion. But it all starts right here today with Southern versus Texas Southern. So let's get ready to take a quick break. We're going to pay some bills, and when we come back on the other side, going to have my man, the director of bands at Southern University, Dr. Kedrick Taylor, to talk to us about the band. Are they going to Texas Southern or not, and whatever else they have coming up on the schedule? So you guys stay tuned. We'll be back. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, we are back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody out there listening on 107.3 FM and everybody watching on our YouTube and Facebook Live. Good to have you guys with us. And as we continue to keep this show going, I'm Perry White. They got a very special guest. He's no stranger to the show. He's the director of bands at Southern University, my man, Dr. Kedrick Taylor. Good morning, Dr. Taylor.
Good morning. Good morning. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Good to have you on with us this morning. I've been getting the questions all week, and I said, you know what? Y'all just got to wait to hear from him himself, the director of bands. Everybody wants to know, is Southern University's marching band, Human Jukebox, will they be in Houston today for the Texas Southern game? The floor is yours. Will they be in Houston?
The band definitely will be in Houston. We excited. We got to root out Jags on the victory. So we excited to, you know, get to Houston once again. We went earlier this year to the National Battle of the Bands, and the students did an exceptional job. And, you know, just to be able to have the opportunity to go back, you know, it's almost like Baton Rouge East. So we definitely
Baton
going back.
West.
Oh, man, I keep saying East. Why I keep going East? I said that earlier this week. Baton Rouge West. I'm thinking about out of Florida school.
But, and Baton Rouge East, you know, we had it at Jackson for years, almost a decade.
That's what
so.
It is. That's what it is. So, yeah, it was Baton Rouge East in Mississippi. So, yeah, but we going west to Houston. But we're excited. We're very excited. The students have been working very hard, as they normally do. It's becoming a habit. It's something that they're accustomed to. They don't shy away from the hard work, and we are very excited about the work that they do, all while maintaining their academic standards. But that's a very challenging thing for young people to do, you know, practice, go to class, all while having to study, and, you know, still deal with their personal things. So, you know, we're very excited about the things that we are doing and the things that to come for the Human Jukebox.
Let me ask you this, Dr. Taylor, because Houston being the market that it is and one of Southern's largest alumni base, what does it do for you guys in terms of recruiting? Do you have a lot of students in the band from the Houston area? That's the largest city so far in the South. And you guys being able to go and take your brand and perform and then do some recruiting in the area, how important is it for you guys to get over to Houston, Texas?
Man, it's very important. Houston is almost like a state by itself. There's so many people in the city, you know, so it's very important to go and showcase what we're doing here in Baton Rouge in Houston. Though that is a major city, we get a lot of recruits from Houston and a lot of talented students and musicians that come from Houston. And a lot of our alum moved to Houston. A lot of the students go and move out there. So it's always great to go to Houston and, you know, to see the alum and to create a new environment to where we get future alum. So I think it's always a great thing and a great opportunity for us to go out to Houston.
A busy week is always busy for the Southern University Human Jukebox. Last week, you guys honored Mr. Lawrence Jackson, former director of bands at Southern University. Talk about that experience. It was his birthday as well. Just having that opportunity, your former band director, being able to show love to him and give him his roses while he's still here.
Oh, man. It wouldn't be right if we didn't honor Mr. Jackson. Mr. Jackson has created an environment that is second to none. Everybody talks about the word crank. All HBCU bands, I can remember back in the day when Southern University was the only one that played like Southern University. Now that you see the impact that Southern has had over the years, everybody's trying to play like Southern University. And it's very flattering because they talked bad about us back in the day, man, but we were one of the best bands in the world at the time, and still to this day, we're continuing to add on to that legacy that has been created many years ago. And to hear so many people imitate what it is that we do here and to take the words that, you know, were created by Mr. Jackson and Dr. Gregg is very flattering because these were the same people who directors told them, hey, Southern band, this and that, but they all copying our style now. Everybody is. And so the impact that Mr. Jackson had on bands across the world, man, it was only right that we honored him for his many contributions to not only the Southern University Human Jukebox, but the HBCU band culture as a whole. I mean, you know, when you think about the work that he did over the years, he didn't get enough credit for it, you know. It was very overlooked, and I think people don't realize the impact that these young people have on these organizations when they are over them. They really pour into the students. They create environments that's conducive for not only music, but learning adulthood. So just knowing Mr. Jackson the way I've known him, you know, he poured a lot into not only myself and the people that marched with me, but even my family, you know, it turned from relationships to friendships, and he became family to us as well. So the impact that he's had on so many is nothing short of than amazing than to honor a man of his magnitude, the kind of person he is, and what he stands for and what he stood for. So I think we didn't, you know, do enough. I still, like, man, what else can we do? You know, because he deserved it as well as others. But, you know, it was a time for us to honor Mr. Lawrence Jackson because this was 10 years since he's been removed as from the director of bands from retirement. So I think that it was a great opportunity for us to honor him, and it was well deserved.
Everybody often gives me a Dr. Isaac Gregg's quote or a funny story. You got to give me a Mr. Lawrence Jackson quote. What is a quote that Mr. Jackson, Mr. J, that you'll forever stick to, your many band members that have come through that program?
So Lawrence Jackson had a lot of quotes as well, but he would repeat a lot of the quotes that Dr. Gregg said. But one personally that I remember, he said, I want you to remember something when you go into war. Rule number one. There are no rules. He said, rule number two. Refer back to rule number one. There are no rules. So I always remember that, and I tell the band that to this day. I was like, rule number one, there are no rules. And rule number two, that refer back to rule number one, there are no rules. But that was one of my favorites. That was one of my favorites from Mr. Jackson because you just got to hear him say it, and it just pump you up. It just gets you motivated, and he definitely could have been a good football coach, because he motivates you. He motivates you to just want to strive to do your best which is how he created the word crank. He's like, we're just going to crank on them, doctor. We're just going to crank them down to the ground. And it just reminded me of a football coach saying, you know, we're going to rip their head off. You don't literally mean you're going to rip their head off, but we're going to execute whatever it is that we worked on from the beginning of the week to the end. So that's what crank mean. And a lot of people took it for whatever they wanted. But, man, Mr. Jackson had a huge impact on the band community. And I'm just definitely excited about what's to come for him, because he's continuing to go out and play a lot of golf, but he's still spreading music across the United States.
You know, we got about 5 minutes before we get ready to go to the break. I got to ask you, homecoming coming up next week. What are some other things coming up on the schedule for the band here in the future so people can get ready to plan and properly get ready to look for you guys?
Man, we have some exciting things coming up. We're doing a jamming with the jukebox on. I talked to the outlet director, Roman Banks, and he allowed us to have a day that we can bring high school bands down to spend the day with the jukebox. And, man, that's huge for us, because not only is it going to be exciting for the students, but we can use that as recruitment. So you have students who want to come from all over the country to come and, you know, jam with the jukebox on. That's going to be November the 16th. But that's something exciting we have coming up. We are also performing at the Honda Ballad of Bands, which will be in SoFi Stadium. So it's giving our students an opportunity to go to California to play in SoFi Stadium, which is a newly built stadium. And then they also get to, you know, go to California and explore and get a chance to sightsee. So it's an opportunity for them to go out there and do that. And I think the next week, if I'm not mistaken, is Super Bowl. I'm not certain to say that we will be at the Super Bowl, but I know we will have some type of affiliation. I can't say exactly what yet, but I know we will be a part of that experience as well. So we also have Mardi Gras coming right after that. But, man, we got a line of things that's coming up, but those are some of the major events that we'll participate in the near future.
Big things for the big band from Jaguarland. You know, Southern University Marching Band. Nobody else does it like the Jaguars. Everybody often tries to imitate it, but they can never, ever duplicate it, Dr. Taylor. You know, and across social media, I hear the rumbles. I see the comments, but I pay no attention to it, because I know at the end of the day, the haters going to hate just because. And it's a reason Southern's band been the best band in the damn land for almost 50 years going on. That's just part of the territory that comes along with it. Isn't that right?
Oh, most definitely. I like the way you said it. A big band from Jaguarland. I like that. I like that.
Well, man, I appreciate you coming on with me this morning, and looking forward to seeing you guys over here in Houston this morning. Of course, it's going to be a hell of a band battle. Texas Southern's band director currently is a former Southern University band director, assistant band director, and he's in a grad of Southern University. So because of that, today is the enemy, so I'm not going to give him no love today. Maybe next week I'll talk, but today he's the enemy. He's Texas Southern. But nonetheless, it's going to be a big battle. So if you're in the Houston area, we got a lot of listeners in the Houston area, make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend to tell another friend to come on out, support the Jaguars, and see two Southern University alums, Texas Southern's band director, Southern alum, Southern. Of course, everybody's Southern alum on that staff. Go ahead and battle each other. Going to be a hell of a battle, and then it's going to be a hell of a game with Southern and Texas Southern. So all the way around, these are the two Southerns, the Texas of the Southern and the Southern from Louisiana, battling out today in Houston, Texas. Dr. Taylor, thanks for coming on, man. Safe travels to you guys, and appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to go to break. We'll be back. Come back on the other side. We have a very special guest, as we're going to talk some SWAC football. So y'all stay tuned. We'll be back. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, we are back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody out there listening. I am Perry White. Good morning to everybody, all of our listeners on 107.3 FM around the Capital City area in Baton Rouge, and everybody watching on our Facebook Live, YouTube Live. Glad to have you guys tuned in with this very special guest this morning as we continue talking Southern University SWAC and all of the things surrounded by it. And nobody better than to talk about it than a former head coach here in this league, former Prairie View head football coach, and he's been in many other schools as coordinator. My man, Coach Hines in Northern. Good morning.
How you doing today?
Doing good, Coach. What's going on?
Hey, man, I'm up early in that. I'm over here. We don't sleep late in the Northern household, which my wife and kids don't like too much. But, you know, we got to get going. We doing some things with my daughter today. My son plays Thursday, and we may make it down to the game tonight. But we rocking and rolling, looking forward to, even if we're not in attendance, to checking the game out and keeping up with the Jaguars this Saturday.
Do you get up beating on pots and pans, making sure everybody gets up?
Hey, man, and, you know, I don't quite do that, but it's one of them. My wife said I just find a way to make noise, whether it's opening doors, raising the garage, you know, cooking breakfast early, you know, whatever it is. She said I make too much noise on a Saturday morning.
Well, listen, I make a lot of noise on a Saturday morning on these airwaves at 7 a.m., and the people always say, man, you early, man, but listen. Nonetheless, Coach, thank you for coming on with us morning, man. Good to have you. I want to jump right into it because I want to talk about something that I think is starting to be interesting. Looking around the SWAC landscape, particularly on the football side, right? We see the SWAC West. It's pretty much anybody's game at this point in the Wild Wild West, as they call it. Five new head coaches in this league, 3 second-year coaches in this league. And that all together out of 12 teams, that's 8 coaches in this league in first or in their second year in the SWAC. Building up a program, because I think, especially looking at Southern, right, with Coach Terrence Graves in year one and seeing the ups and downs of the struggle and the frustration that is starting to come on some of the Jaguar Nation, then looking around at other programs, building a program in this league in today's time, Coach, what does that look like?
It looked like junior college football, to be honest with you, because, you know, the society itself is such a microwave where we don't want to waste any time. You know, we're not baking on 350 anymore or slow cooking this. Let's get it done and let's get it to the table. And we're not trying to hear not necessarily excuses or reasons of why we're not having success. So I'm going to just say, you know, you have a guy that does well as a freshman or sophomore, the likelihood of a SWAC school keeping a kid now is not going to happen. You know, I watched the Prairie View versus Pine Bluff game last night, and I'm looking at the receiver from Pine Bluff, and the first thing I did was, man, let me go check out this kid classification, I should say. And the first thing that came to my mind, that kid ain't going to be at Pine Bluff next year. So it's that's the way football is going. That's the way sports in general are going. So it's hard to build. You have to import almost, and that's not our, I should say, model or mission as a university, but that's going to have to be the model and mission of your athletics program, almost treat it like a junior college and see what happens from there.
So moving forward, and I think this is a good conversation for people to understand, moving forward, what does this look like? Because in the old days, right, you were able to develop a guy, you bring a guy in, and I say the old days like it was that long ago, but it really wasn't that long ago. But you bring a kid in, you recruit the high schoolers, you develop that guy up, you see his growing pains as a freshman, as a sophomore. Typically, if this kid is everything that you wanted throughout your development, you saw by the time he was a junior and a senior that this kid was all-conference, could be potentially all-American, and knocking at the door of being a leader of a program, and now we see that revolving door goes around, guys coming in and guys going out. We seem to harp a lot on getting these transfer guys because now the development side of the game, Coach, seems to be out, and it's almost like plug and play. How much of a detriment is that because of this transfer portal and being able to go in and grab guys at any given time for that plug-and-play style that we're starting to see across the landscape? Because there used to be a few teams that could live and die by this. And if anybody remembers when Grambling had their championship run just right before COVID when they had Kincaid and many others, and then I look at other FCS programs like a Jacksonville State, a Sam Houston State, even Southeastern right there in Hammond, they would have those up-and-down years for – you know, they'll bring in a good transfer class, and for 2 years, that transfer class will propel them to where they need to go. Then you'll have on the back end the fallout because now those transfers have come and gone, and now you're left with the guys that you're supposed to develop. looking at the landscape right now, what is this going to look like for the SWAT in particular? Because you got guys coming in and out of that revolving door and starting to lose track of what it means to develop guys up from freshman all the way through out of high school until graduation.
Well, that's one of the things that as coaches we have to look at. So I'll say even when I first got to Prairie View, we would pretty much sign a whole recruiting class. And if they were not junior college kids, they were going to redshirt or spot play as freshmen. Now, if you pretty much plug in, and you plug and play kids, where if you signed a kid out of junior college or a transfer, it was because that was the spot that you needed, and you knew that kid pretty much was going to come in and from day one be first or second on the depth chart. Now, this is where your development comes in now, is the off-season program where you get the OTAs, as we call them, during the summertime. That's where your development comes. Your development don't come from taking a kid from a Southern Lab or Glen Oaks, Baker, wherever, get them on campus, redshirt them a year, let's put 10 or 15 pounds on them, take 15 pounds off if he's a real big kid, and then that freshman year, they may get some spot play, some good backup play. The second year, they may start off and on. Third and fourth year, you got some jokers that you know you can count on during quality time where you don't get that development. Now, and even it's trickled down to how the high school kids are getting recruited. If you think around the Baton Rouge area, how many kids that you've seen play that don't go off to play college football, don't get signed out of high school that everybody in Baton Rouge would think was a pretty good football player, they're not even getting a chance to go play because of the transfer portal. They're not getting recruited out of high school, and a lot of kids are so-called giving up on their shot because they didn't get the scholarship, which a lot of people were counting on the scholarship. So, and I can look into my own family, from some cousins that I had that didn't get recruited. The other thing is just the dynamic of having a kid transfer in. I look at stats differently probably from everybody, but I looked at some of the games, just say when I was a head coach at Prairie View, and we may have played a Lamar, a McNeese that were loaded with transfers, and I would go back and look at, let me see the transfers of the game, who scored touchdowns and who didn't score. And just say we played McNeese one year, they may have beat us 35-7, and 35 of their points were scored by guys that played in the SEC, the Big 12, the ACC or something like that. So without those transfers at one time, that could tilt the field. And then, like I say, you may have the big drop-off that you see, but now it's everybody has access to them, but everybody can't get them in school. So that's a whole nother thing that we can talk about. But it's just, you got to find a way to get it done and get it done because people don't have patience at all anymore when it comes to developing a program.
You talk about developing a program, and I got to go back to last week, right? And I want to ask you something in the difference of conferences. Southern took on Nichols, who has won back-to-back Southland Conference titles. Nichols comes in. Tim Rebo, of course, him and his program, he's been there for quite some time, about 10 years now, brings his program in, and they didn't do anything fancy last week. They just lined up and played football. When you look at programs across the FCS and you look at the lack of success that you've seen the SWAC conference have against fellow FCS conferences, particularly the Southland, what seems to be the difference there, Coach, when you look at typically the SWAC on the losing end of the majority of these games versus the Southland, in both teams recruiting at the same backyard, both conferences, when you look at it, not a huge difference overall, but the Southland tends to typically come out on the winning end these matchups.
Well, I think some of it is just a mentality state of when we go play these teams, we have to – it's a certain formula to winning non-conference games. So, number one, you have to stop the run, in my opinion. Number two, you have to be very fundamentally sound in the kicking game. And then you have to not turn over the football. If you look at all three of those phases, Southern did not do any of those things well against Nichols. If you think about some of the running plays that Nichols had, how many tackles they broke. And then you go back, like I said, the kicking game, you have a chance to flip field position. Coach had him kick the ball over. Then we let the ball roll to the one. Now field position has changed. So that's a special teams loss. And then the quarterback play wasn't particularly good. You had some underthrows, some overthrows, and different things like that. So that's how you win those games. But the mentality part of it is we have to not beat ourselves. That's the biggest way to win the game. And then, like I say, you know, fortunate enough, sometimes, whenever I go to Southern, I hate sitting in the stands because I hate hearing people bash the coaches and the players. So normally I'm on the sideline watching the game. But the disheartening part to me as a former defensive player in particular is listening to the coaches tell the guy, look, man, there's trips over there. You one-on-one to your side. The guy lined up outside the numbers. He's going to run the slant route. Coach telling the kid, get inside. Here come the slant. Man, lo and behold, the joke was complete slant three different times for a touchdown. And like I say, I'm listening to coach over and over. And it's not the bad part about it, it's not the same kid. So it's just different things like that where we finding a way to beat ourselves on small things. The answer mosquitoes going to beat you more than the lions, tigers, and elephants. And that's what we have to get into. And I told people this on another show. Sometimes we may have to start treating our players, which I hate to say, differently than what the mission of the university is. We may have to start treating them like it's a business. And so what if we have to send some jokers home? But at the end of the day, that's not what we are built on. We are built on love and getting these kids, sending them back to their neighborhoods better. But if we treat them like that, as black college football coach, as a black man, we going to get looked at totally different than anybody else. And like I say, it may be the wrong thing to say, but I think it's just about wins and losses, that's the way it's going to have to go. You got to treat them differently instead of chance after chance after chance. Sometimes you got to, you know, like they say, cut bait and go from there.
Let me do this, coach. Let's get ready to take a break. Can you hang on through this break with me?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's get ready to take a break. We come back on the other side. That's the voice of former Prairie View head coach Heisman Northern on the line with us this morning. Good to have him. We're going to take a break and come back and continue this conversation. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be back. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, we are back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody out there. I am Perry White. Good to have you guys with us. Everybody listening on Talk 107.3 FM around the Capital City area. And everybody watching on our YouTube and Facebook channel, glad to have you guys with us. Very special guest. He's a Jaguar and a former head coach in the SWAC. Joining me today, my man Heisman Northern. Good morning, coach.
Yes, sir.
You know, as we continue to have this conversation, got about 7 minutes before we got to get ready to take a break to the top of the hour. So kind of ask you this real quick. This whole new world of you talking about with this transfer portal, like you said last night, you saw a receiver from Pine Bluff in that Prairie View game that may not, you know, due to his talent, may not stick around and may think the grass is green on the other side. How do we then begin to keep talent? And I go back to with the transfer portal, the world that changed with it is the NIL and the collective deals. What does that look like for HBCUs? And is that something that we can sustain when you're trying to keep being talent without leaving, thinking the grass is always green on the other side?
Well, the part of the problem is we have to evolve with the times, and sometimes that's not a thing that we do very well as a coach, I should say. I mean, I'm looking at some schools now that are adding money or cost to the cost of your ticket to pay NIL or collective dues. You know, so are our fans going to be willing to do that? It's almost like at some schools, if I was at Southern University, I would have a person to go out into the community and say, hey, look, this is what we're trying to do, and how can you help us? But the part of the problem is you got that other monster on the other side of the town that's doing the same thing. But we got to find people, say, that went to school at Southern or alums of Southern that may have some connections in their business or their place of employment that can say, hey, how can I help my university out, or how can I personally help my university out? And I'll just tell it like this. So I'm coming home next week for a couple of days. But as my wife and I make our rounds, so I try to make sure that we make a donation to the lab school, to Glen Oaks, to Southern football and baseball, which I both, you know, I play baseball at Southern as well. So we got to find more people that I say, like myself, that will say, look, I'm going to do this for my school because that's the right thing to do, and not just, you know, hoard. but we got to be more creative in how we get out into the business community to get that money into our program. If not, you're going to see the guys like Texas Southern had a couple of years ago make all conference as a freshman. And now I think that Joker may be starting at Auburn or Ole Miss or somewhere like that. So we got to find, and not we're going to be able to match those funds, but at least make a Joker think twice about it, because it's almost like the loyalty of staying around the program is not there anymore.
Let me ask you this. Prairie View took on Pine Bluff last night. Pine Bluff able to seal the deal and get it done at home. Surprised the hell out of me with Coach Alonzo Hampton and company. But Prairie View now 1-3 in conference play. And we're just getting started in October. They have losses to Pine Bluff now. Texas Southern and Southern. Their only victory in conference play was their last one with Grambling. Does this seem to be over just before it got started for Coach Bubba McDowell and Prairie View right now, 1-3 in the SWAC West?
If you're a realist, you have to say yes, because you can get in with two losses, which they have done, and I think Southern has as well. The days of, in my opinion, a team on the West in particular, if you don't have the absolute best quarterback in the conference by far, it's going to be hard for you to get through the SWAC West with one loss. Now, on the other side, it's going to boil down to Jackson and Fam on most years. But you got to say that one is over for them, you know, with the three losses on your side and all of them being pretty much close losses. So you've got to say it's over. Now, their thing is going to have to be, who can we keep from going to the championship?
Well, I'm glad we already got past them. So we ain't got to worry about spoiler alert, but UAPB down the line now. Spoiler alert, potentially. Losing last week at Alcorn, but they're still ahead. And let me ask you this. I got about 3 minutes before we get ready to take this break. Yeah. Quarterback play in the SWAC. It has been, to me, in my opinion, atrocious the way that we have allowed these quarterbacks to go out. And that separates us, especially in these non-conference games. And like you said before, you see the teams with the best quarterback, and it has a track record of SWAC championship teams typically have the best quarterback, but there's typically 1-3 quarterbacks in this league out of a 12-team league that separate themselves from everybody else.
And that's it in a nutshell. You like I say, if I was back coaching, I would love to be a defensive coordinator in the conference, minus the referee letting the guys pass the ball with linemen 7 and 10 yards downfield. But it's a very athletic quarterback league, so the athletic quarterbacks may not be your best passers of the football in time. So you'll see guys, you know, they're going to make those no, okay, good play type of plays. But just the fundamentals of getting back, being a very accurate quarterback, I think that's where we are losing some of the game. Like, I watch film on Pine Bluff quarterback. You know, sometimes, man, he throws the best ball you ever seen. Then he'll throw on you, make you say, you know, what in the world are you doing? Alcorn's quarterback, very athletic. Remind you of one of the Air Canada, you know, one of those type of guys that they had a few years back. But just the overall quarterback playing the conference, in my opinion, that watching from a coaching standpoint, is down. And I said it, you know, Fam probably got the best passer of the football, but sometimes even his deep throws, you're like, how did he underthrow that, or how did the ball sail 5 yards out of bounds? But it's bad, you know, I'm not saying bad, but it's still poor quarterback play, and we have to find a way to develop our guys better once you get them, whether it's from a footwork standpoint or just how can we get those, you know, the virtual reality of reading the defense, you know, without having to go on the field all the time. How do we improve those guys' football IQ? Because a lot of times they come from an offense where it's a 1-2 read and then take off running, where sometimes you got to scan the whole field and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, you're talking about going through your progression, and that's typically where we see where the issue lies of going through the progression, man. Coach, I got to get ready to go to a break, top of the hour, man. I appreciate you for coming on. Do not be a stranger. That's the voice of Coach Heisman Northern, man. You want to give a shout-out to anybody out there while you got their ear?
Hey, nah, man, just my family at home. And early I saw my man Kevin Walker, Tommy Walker, who's probably the best little league football player in the history of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Me and Tommy grew up together. So, and, you know, I saw him and my man Adrian Crook in the comments earlier. So, you know, I grew up with his brother as well. But, hey, man, I love Baton Rouge. I look forward to getting home for a couple of days And, man, we support the Jaguars no matter what.
So, man, I appreciate you for coming on, man. You got any platforms out there you want people to tune in and follow you?
Well, you know, I'm not on social media like talking about, but I do a show on Sunday nights with Lionel Mosby, who was the editor of the school newspaper at Prairie View. It's TV versus everybody with my name sort of mixed in the show. And then I do a show with Mike Prince on the Open Mic Network. It's just an audio call. He and I talk about swag football with focus on Prairie View, and he usually puts that out on Fridays on YouTube, but it's Mike Prince on the Open Mic Network. So I do those, and I do a show like yours. Anybody give me a call. My wife say I need to start charging some of these jokes that call me about defensive advice for consulting. But real quickly, my son is a senior in high school, and he's probably going to be at one of these swag schools playing one of these sports, but you know, we support all swag schools, and we're going to make the best of it wherever it ends up, where he ends up, though.
Well, thank you, Coach, man. I know that conversation with PV versus everybody, Mike Prince, all that's going to be interesting coming up this week considering what happened last night. So,
yes,
Coach,
sir.
Man, I appreciate you, man. Homecoming up this week. Hope to see you on the bluff, man.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. That's the voice of former Prairie View head coach, Heisman, Northern Southern University guy. Play football and baseball at Southern. Let's get ready to take a break. We'll come back on the other side. Going to have my man Jim Kleinpeter and Kevin Baptiste. We're going to talk a little Southern football for you guys, recap last week's game, and then look forward to this week's game today in Houston, Texas versus Texas Southern. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be back. More of the Jaguar Journal.